Reality Winner is a whistleblower being held without bail for helping expose Russian hacking efforts leading up to the 2016 U.S. election. Charged under the Espionage Act for sending a classified NSA document to the media, Reality faces 10 years in prison. Reality Winner is the first victim of the Trump administration's so-called war on leakers.
She feels like she's being treated as a political prisoner, and those are her words.
She served close to an entire year in jail before her trial if her bail appeal does not go through, which is a pretty uphill battle. I mean, that's what people really need to do, is they need to pay attention to what's going on and how our government is treating her.
The diet that she's being fed in the jail, she doesn't get very many vegetables at all. And when she does, they're canned, but it's just not very often.
Unless we're loud enough to make a difference and to really put some pressure on the Department of Justice and the court system, it's really not going to do her any good. And so she just feels like there needs to be more. There needs to be a lot more focus on what's going on. And, you know, we're all kind of like, at first when she was first arrested, there was so much media attention to her case, but now there's very little.
This is the Courage to Resist podcast. My name is Eric Klein, and working with the campaign to free Reality Winner, which is online at standwithreality.org, I spoke with three people who are extremely close with Reality. Her mother, Billy Winner Davis, her friend, Matthew Boyle, and her sister, Brittany Winner. You just got off the phone with Reality.
Yeah.
How's she doing?
She's doing well, considering. To me, on the phone, I think she tries to keep her spirits up. She's looking for me to also cheer her up and entertain her with things that I did today. We talk about our mom a lot. We're both kind of worried about her, but...
Yeah. Why are you worried about your mom?
I think this whole thing has been really hard on my sister, obviously, but it's also had a significant impact on our family. Our family is never going to be the same. You know, before and after, when my sister got arrested, there's a definite, you know, people talk about things happening in their life, and there's a line, and it's a before and after line. This is our before and after line.
So, like, you just got off the phone with Reality. How often does she call? Is it a unpredictable schedule, or did you know that she might be calling you?
She calls me just about every day, probably in the evening from like 7 to 8 p.m. So it's uncommon for me not to hear from her.
What's going on with your sister, Reality Winner, these days? What's new?
She was really excited because she thought that the Catch Me Outside girl got into jail at the same time that she was there. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I am fortunately vaguely aware of who this person is. she's a very young person who's famous for doing something kind of that's the best I can do. Doing something.
Right. It was a viral sort of hit, and this young woman was on the Dr. Phil show with her mom. And she was very disrespectful to her mom, and she was saying, "Catch me outside," kind of like she was going to fight her. Anyway, so like Reality and I would send each other memes with that girl, "Catch me outside." And sometimes we'll send each other things that people don't, nobody else would understand, but we just totally get it. And so "Catch me outside" was one of the things that we like to reference. And then the other day she called me and she said, "Oh my God, Catch Me Outside girl is here." And I was like, "What?" So
she's there at the same county facility that Reality is being held at?
Yes. But she was only there for about 2 hours, Reality just told me today. But Reality got to teach her how to do squats.
No way. So Catch Me Outside girl was there because she got in trouble?
I guess. Why else do you go to jail?
I don't know. Well, you could be visiting. That is a delightful coincidence. Thank you for sharing that with me.
You're welcome.
I feel like I should rush to Twitter right now to report it so that I can have the scoop.
Well, I asked Reality, I'm like, "Are you sure it was her?" Yeah. What was funny was that like we have this app called TouchNote. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but you can take any photo on your phone and you can turn it into a postcard that then gets mailed to whoever you want it to be. Hmm. So since I'm really bad at writing letters, I've just been sending my sister lots of pictures and memes and just everything else that like I can find on my phone or on the internet. I'll just turn it into a postcard and I'll send it to her. So the other day, probably about a week ago or so, I found that she had sent me like the Cash Me Outside Girl. And so, of course, I turned that into a postcard. And apparently that arrived today, which was really kind of poignant for the arrival of the Cash Me Outside Girl. So reality is fairly certain that she was there in the same facility, which is kind of amazing.
I love that. I love that you guys, because you can't, she can't text. You guys can't exchange memes on the fly like you would have before she was.
Oh, we were always doing it before. Right. But yeah, and it's been kind of sad because I feel like she's also cut off from, there are so many great memes out there, you know, continuously. Yeah. You miss a week and you've missed like a year.
Yeah. But you can send it to her as postcards and then she gets it in the snail mail.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
But she has it forever, at least, in her hands, at least.
Oh. You know?
It's better than nothing.
That's exciting. Brittany, what do you want people who are listening to this to know?
I want people to know that the conversations, the private Facebook message conversations that the prosecution took wildly out of context is not easily understood by anybody who isn't us. So a lot of the hyperbole that we used or a lot of the joking around, I mean, if you think about your own conversations with your siblings, you have your own sort of way of speaking. My sister doesn't hate America.
Yeah, we should talk about that specifically then. So in case people were not aware, your Facebook chats that you guys were just playfully being sisters, it was used by the prosecution to paint a picture of reality as a very dark picture, really. I don't want to be too hyperbolic about it, but it was, how would you describe what the prosecution did with your words and reality's words?
Well, first of all, we were constantly talking to each other on Facebook Messenger, and it was, we'd send each other pictures of our cats, of memes, of recipes, of just like anything, right? We didn't always talk about important things either, you know. But there were some times that we did talk about things that were somewhat serious, like when my dad passed away, our dad passed away in December. Certain kind of big life events happened. We talk about those, but
yeah.
So we did talk fairly often, though.
And so in part of that back and forth between sisters, there was what?
Are you asking me what the prosecution brought up?
Yeah.
Right.
And how they framed it, so, and how you would describe what it was.
Right. So the first, or at least one of the things they brought up, was about how reality needed a polygraph test for her job. And she was joking that she was going to fail.
Right.
And I knew that she was making a joke because, I mean, who would, you know, she applied for this job. Why would she failed the polygraph? Like, I think that she was being silly and hyperbolic. And I think that, you know, she's very intelligent. Both of us are, but sometimes we like to pretend like we're not going to pass things, right? We're going to fail. Oh no, it's like a test. And then she said something to the effect of, well, I only say that I hate America, you know, 10 times a day, kind of adding to this joke.
Yeah.
Of I'm going to fail the polygraph test. Right. And that's kind of what the prosecution picked up on.
Amazing.
Was, well, she says that she hates America. And then in my message, I'm like, I'm usually the voice of reason. I tend to be a little bit more serious in our conversations. Well, I'm the older sister, right? Like, I kind of have to be. And I said, you don't really hate America, right? And she goes, well, I mean, yeah, I do, because where the reason, you know, air conditioning is the reason that the planet, you know, et cetera, global warming, climate change, et cetera. Like, we're ruining the planet.
Yeah.
Which I think to younger people, it's clearly a joke. Saying, I mean, is her, if you were to speak to her in person, she'd say, I mean, and then she'd be rolling her eyes. And then you'd know that that doesn't mean that she actually means it, that she's joking. And I think that sometimes in our humor, when we would talk to each other, we'd escalate things a little bit too far sometimes, like, you know, taking a joke a little bit too far. But I knew even before I asked that question that she doesn't hate America.
Yeah. And why do you know that, Brittany?
Because she served America for 6 years. She joined the Air Force when she could have just gone to college. She cares so much about democracy and everybody being able to vote and choose the kind of government that they have. She wants that. She wants democracy for Syria, for example. She wants people to be able to decide their own government.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. We would all be screwed if somebody went through every chat, and I'm just saying we, as in like every single person that I know of. Let's just take every single person on the planet below the age of 40. If all of our chat logs were combed through for the most extreme words that, you know, that between friends,
right.
We'd all go to jail for those, if those words were serious, if those words were crimes.
You know, it seriously makes me cringe, though, because we talked about so many private things. I said so many private things that the FBI were just able to look through, and I feel like my privacy has been violated. It's really kind of awful. I try not to think about it too much, but people ask me, they're like, how does it make you feel that they combed through logs of your private Facebook Messenger conversations with your sister? And I feel, I'm kind of disgusted about this. Honestly, it doesn't make me feel good. I think that you brought up an interesting question about, you know, what if somebody had access to everything that you've ever texted or messaged somebody? Because there was another conversation that the prosecution brought up, and it was about, there was this event, it was called Vault 7. Do you remember anything about that, that happened a couple months ago?
No, tell me what Vault 7 is.
So I don't remember the details, but it was like a slew of released information. I believe it was something to do with WikiLeaks. I didn't really know much about it because a lot of that intelligence stuff, I mean, I'm not in that field. I'm not in that discipline. So I had texted my sister and I asked, like, what about that Vault 7 stuff? That's pretty scary, right? Because I knew that she would know a little bit more about it because that's her job. Yeah. She's in intelligence. She could kind of interpret that for me. Just like when she finds an interesting scientific article, like about nutrition or biochemistry, she can send it along to me because I have a PhD in pharmacology, right? So it just makes sense that you would ask somebody whose expertise is in a certain field to help interpret kind of course. The news for you, right? Anyway, so I found myself having to explain this, right, to the prosecution because they're like, why were you talking about this? I'm like, isn't it obvious?
Yeah.
I was asking about this event. Anyway, so I said, what about this Vault 7 stuff? It's pretty scary. And she goes, it's awesome.
Okay.
And of course the prosecution was like, well, what do you mean by it's awesome? Does that mean, you know, this leak or this event was very harmful to American intelligence, etc.? And I don't know whether it was or not. I don't remember from the event itself, but I did point out that there are multiple meanings of the word awesome. It's something that's, you know, kind of huge.
Yeah.
In terms of scale, right? So it didn't necessarily mean that she was endorsing whatever had happened. She said that's a very big thing that just happened. It's kind of inspires awe, etc.
Yeah.
And then I asked whether she was on Julian Assange's side, and she said yes, and Snowden. And that was the snippet of conversation that the prosecution brought up, that reality was sympathizing with Julian Assange and Edward Snowden. And clearly, you know, she was kind of counter to America's best interest because both of those individuals are accused of leaking classified information. But you have to ask yourself, what private view have you ever held that you would hate somebody else to kind of latch onto? Like you were just saying, like a character witness for every message that you've ever sent. Private citizens can hold whatever opinion they want about just about anything. And that's America. You can hold an opinion. It's not a crime to say that you think that what Assange or Snowden did is right or wrong. But they're bringing that up and they're saying, like, this is evidence of who she is as a person. I'm like, poll America. See how many people agree with them. That doesn't necessarily mean that they have criminal intentions. It seems like thought police to me. And I don't know if you feel the same way.
I understand that she's not eating the food she would like to eat. How's she doing as far as her diet goes?
As you and I'm sure everybody else has heard, she's a vegan. So am I. I started it. I want the record to show that I was vegan first. Okay. And then my sister became vegan after me. That's kind of a silly thing, but anyway. So I know how hard it can be. So relying on plant protein makes you have to think very hard about where you get your protein and mixing the right amount. So like canonically, rice and beans will give you like a complete protein. The diet that she's being fed in the jail, she doesn't get very many vegetables at all. And when she does, they're canned, but it's just not very often. She won't eat any of the meat that they prepare, obviously. And I think she very rarely gets fresh fruit either. So it's really hard for her to meet her nutritional needs not eating the meat that they provide.
Yeah, and she doesn't get vegetables? Like, what are they feeding her? Is it just a pile? Like, well, I'm sorry. Like, it's kind of difficult to understand what a meal is if without vegetables.
Well, I don't know if you heard, but in one of our conversations, my sister said, I got a can of peas today, peas and corn. And she said, well, peas and corn are dope. Of course, she's not actually endorsing the food that they gave her at the jail. She's trying to make light of a pretty bad situation. But apparently, Prosecutor Solari brought that up in that my sister must not be having that hard of a time in jail because she said that peas and corn are dope. So as long as you have peas and corn, you're fine. That's all you need to eat. In some people's world, that's enough. And my sister's not endorsing it. She's making a joke and she's making light of a pretty terrible situation.
That is a little bit cruel. I didn't understand that was what was happening. So now whenever reality uses sarcasm, it can be turned against her by the prosecution and they can use those words against her. They can use her sarcasm against her.
Absolutely. They have this entire time because they don't understand her. How could they?
Yeah. If you could get them to understand her, like, what would you tell them? If they were listening to you, if they cared about what you knew about your sister, what would you tell them?
I'd say, first of all, you need to sit down and meet her. Look her in the eyes. And talk to her like a human being. Then you'll see that she is one. And then listen to what she has to say. She's a veteran of the Air Force. Doesn't that mean anything? She served her country. She's young. She could have done anything else. But no, she's here to serve Americans. And ultimately, that's what she wants to do. I think that they need to listen to what she says to them. Because what she says to me, joking, hyperbole things that we just said privately to each other, that's not a conversation that belongs anywhere else than just privately between us. So if they would just sit down with her, speak with her, then they would understand who she really is. I think that my sister's a very special person. And to really understand her, you need to meet her, which I hope everybody has a chance to do.
That's Reality Winner's sister, Brittany Winner. Later on in this episode, we'll hear from Reality's mom, Billy Winner Davis. But first, here's Reality's friend Matthew Boyle, who, like her mother and her sister, has been talking to Reality on the phone from jail almost every day.
Most days, yeah. Twice yesterday. She didn't call me today, though. But yeah, I mean, she's got nothing else to do in jail, so she gives me a call.
Yeah. What's that like? Do you know the schedule?
It's usually about the same time. She usually calls me. I usually get off work. I go to work pretty early, so I usually get off by like 3:34, and she usually calls me about then. But yeah, it's usually about the same time. You never really know when she's going to call, because sometimes she has other things going on. And it's not like, it's kind of weird because there's no like text messages and, you know, we don't really talk on the phone anymore in this country. So yeah, we had to relearn how to do that.
Right.
We're so used to being like, you know, you send a text and then you respond 5 minutes later while you're doing other stuff. But, you know, we had to kind of retrain ourselves to do that. And
that's funny. Did you guys talk on the phone before?
No, never. We always met. We always text message. Yeah, it was weird. Like, I couldn't even recognize her voice at first. I was like, it's weird when she says the same things and now you can hear her voice inflection on it that she never did before, and it was just texts.
All right. So yeah, what's your expert opinion then on the difference between texting and talking on the phone with Reality Winner?
It's different. It's you get a lot more focus when you're on the phone. You have to pay a lot more attention.
Yeah. Remind me again, how old are you guys? Both the same age?
No, I'm older than her. Okay. I'm like, I'm in my mid 30s and she's in her mid 20s.
Yeah. I just, I love it. I want to project all sorts of millennial.
Oh yeah. Like I bought a bunch of emoji stickers and put them on like the letters now, because I don't know how to talk without emojis anymore.
Seriously?
Yeah.
See, but the, oh.
Yeah.
All right, good one. I'm glad I dug for that detail. Okay.
Yeah, things like that. Just try and keep her motivated and connected to stuff.
Yeah. Matthew Boyle, tell me about your relationship with Reality Winner. I understand you've been with her family in the courtroom.
I've known Reality for, I guess, maybe a year and a half. We met in May or June and last year, and started dating at the end of June or early July, I think, last year.
How'd you meet?
We went to the same CrossFit gym together, so we worked out together. Mm-hmm. Bree is a spectacular athlete. She's, you know, I'm a 5'10", 170-pound, very lean guy, and she's as strong as me for the most part. There are things that I'm definitely stronger than her at, but she is, in terms of athleticism, she's, you know, she's pretty elite, a lot better than I am.
Yeah. How is she able to exercise as much as she would like right now?
No. Right now she has no access to any exercise equipment. I don't think she even gets sneakers. She just gets Crocs. So a lot of times it's running in place for 45 minutes. She sent me some of her workouts that she's doing, you know, where she does something. There's it's called a pistol squat. It's a one-legged squat below parallel. You can Google it if you can do it. I'll give you mad props. It took me about a year how to learn how to do it. With, like, it's just a body weight thing, but it's very tricky. You have to have a lot of balance and flexibility. You know, I can do maybe 5. She's cranking out 200 in jail. But, you know, she doesn't have access to any sort of, yeah, I mean, she doesn't have access to sneakers, so she runs barefoot in a dirt yard when she can, if she's lucky enough to go outside for half an hour around a circle. And also the food, you know, she doesn't have any sources of protein in prison because she is vegan, and she takes that pretty seriously. So a lot of times it's just some canned vegetables and a baked potato. and that's what they feed her.
Yeah, I actually heard that's one of the issues.
Yeah, that's one of the things we're working on. I'm actually researching that. Want to find a way to make everybody happy here. You know, the jail is a very small jail and it's in a very rural area, and obviously they don't really have a lot of vegan inmates in South Georgia or Southwest Georgia area. And you know, understandably, the jail has a position that they can't treat her special, so they won't. They obviously won't let us send food packages or anything like that. So we're hopeful that we can find a happy medium where, you know, they have a store car where they're allowed to order certain items.
Yeah,
that is. But there's no source of like protein, like vegan protein, like just protein shakes or protein bars or even anything like that is mostly just junk food. So maybe we're going to try and work with them. Maybe we can get the food stocked wherever they're ordering from, or anything that we can do just to get, you know, without violating their rules, to make sure that we can get her, you know, a good source of healthy protein and nutrition.
Yeah. Is she feeling okay with the...
Oh, no, she's sick all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very sick all the time. She has to be on antibiotics a lot.
Oh, no. So, what's wrong?
I think she has a lot of stomach problems. She has a lot of skin problems. I don't go into too much depth with it because that's really more of like...
it's personal.
Yeah, well, I mean, she goes into depth with her mom about it, and that's who she wants to talk to about it. I just kind of... Because there's nothing she understands that a lot better with her mom.
Yeah.
Is more comfortable talking about that.
What do you guys talk about?
Different things. She likes to talk about her cat, her family, her sister, her mother. She's, you know, her stepfather. She adores them a lot. Different types of music that she's, you know, she doesn't have any access to music. So like sometimes she makes playlists for spin the class and sends them to me.
She makes a playlist for... Is this for her spin class that she was teaching before the
Yeah, so she was teaching spin, and that's something she was really into, doing spin bike classes. So she'll compose a playlist in her head and then write it all out, you know, each song and why she chose that song and the tempo that it goes with, mm-hmm. and send it, even though she obviously doesn't have Spotify or access to any of that stuff anymore. She calls it recycling.
Okay.
Because she goes by Re.
Uh-huh. Recycling. Yeah.
Recycling.
So, Matthew, what do you think people need to know about her case, like,
well,
now?
I think what people need to do mostly is pay attention. This is not just because of reality, but because of what this represents. You know, the law that she's charged under, she's not charged with leaking classified information. She's charged with espionage. She's charged the same as a Russian spy. And that's just, to me, that's just wrong. Just morally, legally, principally, there's a difference between leaking a document that the government is trying to suppress or that the president doesn't like, and a spy. And charging her with something like that, it's ridiculous. And if they're allowed to do that, then what's to say that they can't charge you for a spy if you talk to somebody foreign? Or it just doesn't make sense. And they're using the wrong law, and they're trying to come down like a ton of bricks on somebody for something that, you know, David Petraeus pled guilty to. He's a four-star general and CIA director. Did plead guilty to, and he didn't serve a day in jail, not one. And she'll have served close to an entire year in jail before her trial if her bail appeal does not go through, which is a pretty uphill battle. I mean, that's what people really need to do, is they need to pay attention to what's going on and how our government is treating her.
Yeah. Matthew Boyle, tell me about ASA. What's ASA?
A few years ago, Reality got into Athletes Serving Athletes, which is a foundation that pushes disabled children in wheelchairs for races, marathons, half marathons, 10Ks. If you've ever been to one, sometimes you see the, you know, disabled child in the jogging wheelchair, mm-hmm. and a team around him. Reality was, I mean, that was it. Like, you know, whenever there was an ASA event, frankly, it didn't really matter what I wanted to do or if I had plans. It was, you know, that was something Rhea was dedicated to. That was something that she really loved, and nothing was going to stop her from doing that.
So you guys would both be pushing?
She would be pushing.
Okay, so you would just have to run next to her?
Oh, no. I would just either... I just couldn't make plans with her that day, or I'd have to come as a spectator.
Okay.
She'd been doing it for years, so she had like a whole team that she worked with.
So, Matthew, one of the things that's on my mind when we're doing this podcast is just that Reality Winners, she's not a very well-known person right now. She's being held in jail by the Trump administration for her whistleblowing, but she's not a famous whistleblower. What do you tell people? How do you explain to people what they need to know about your friend Reality?
Mostly I tell them is just start paying attention and to check out the website. I'm really hopeful about future coverage in the media. I think in order to understand even the basics or understand anything about Reality, what's happening to her, you need long-form journalism. You need to sit down and take the time. And with our crazy news cycle now, after about an hour when you get some scary news alert that something happened somewhere, people just tend to glaze over. But I don't think you can really get them. You just ask them, like, hey, keep it on your mind. Look at this. Take your time. You don't need to talk about it with me right now, but pay attention to this. And eventually they do, I think.
That was the voice of Matthew Boyle, Reality Winner's friend. You're listening to the Courage to Resist podcast. My name is Eric Klein, and you can find out more about supporting Reality Winner at the campaign to free her online at standwithreality.org. That's one word, standwithreality.org. Next up, we're going to hear from Reality's mom, Billy Winner Davis. Billy Winner Davis and I last spoke on this podcast in the summer of 2017. That was just a couple months after her daughter's arrest.
Since the last time that you and I talked, I did retire. I left Child Protective Services at the end of August so that I could be freed up to relocate to Georgia. And so I actually made the trip up to Georgia at the end of September and moved into the house that Reality had rented there in Augusta. And we had another bail hearing. The court did set another bail hearing for Reality on September 29th. And so we went in, and I think we had our hopes up, way up, a little bit too high, as far as thinking that this time she would absolutely be granted bail. I say we had our hopes up maybe too high, but I don't think it was too high, because really there's no reason why she should not have been granted bail. But yet, at the end of that hearing, the following week, the court issued a written order that basically, again, denying her bail. And so she remains in jail.
Yeah. And tell me why you expected Reality to be released on bail.
Part of the reason why she was not granted bail at the first hearing was because the government, the prosecution, was indicating that there may be more charges coming. They were hinting that she perhaps committed more crimes than what she was originally being charged with, and that they just did not have all the information that they needed at that time. They didn't know how serious this was, but they needed time to go through all of the mountains of evidence, as they put it, as far as all of these cell phones she had, the computers that she had. They felt like there was going to be so much more to this. And then, of course, the court indicated that she didn't appear to have ties to the Augusta, Georgia community, that she had been there for such a short time that there was really no way that he could be sure that she would remain in that area and would appear at, you know, any other hearings. So he indicated, you know, he went with the defense that there appeared to be more to this, that nobody knew exactly what, you know, all information that she may have, or what they may find, and then that she didn't have ties to the community. And so when her defense was preparing for the bail hearing, the second bail hearing, basically the prosecution has found zero, nothing more. There's been no further charges. There's been nothing. And in fact, the prosecution actually admitted that they had made some statements that were not true during the last bail hearing, during the original bail hearing. You know, they had indicated that during a phone conversation with me, reality had indicated that she had perhaps leaked documents, plural, but that wasn't the case. They had to retract that and say, no, we were mistaken. And another conversation that reality and I also had while she was in jail, they also had to retract that and say, no, we were wrong about how we presented that information. So we knew that going into this second bail hearing that, again, the things that the prosecution had really strongly objected to her being released on, there was nothing there. There was nothing to it. And then as far as the ties to the community, my relocating to Augusta, living in the same home, being there to be, you know, kind of her third-party custodian, as they called it, that would definitely be something that would give her the tie to the community. So we just did not believe that there was anything that would, you know, possibly make the court feel like she was a flight risk or that she was a danger to her community.
Billy Winner Davis, how would you describe how your daughter, Reality Winner, feels right now about her situation compared to the last time we spoke a few months ago?
Oh, she's angry. She's very angry. She feels like this, like she's being treated as a political prisoner. And those are her words. She feels like of all of, you know, the possible people out there that are given bail and for her to be denied, she does feel like very much like there's a lot of politics going on here and that this wouldn't be happening to, you know, somebody else in a different time. Her defense put up a lot of information and facts as far as any other individual who's ever been charged under the Espionage Act. She is the only one that's been denied bail. It's just, it's so unfair and it's so unjust. There are days when she absolutely feels like no matter what happens or no matter what we can possibly show, that she's going to remain in jail for the rest of her life. She does feel very powerless and hopeless in this.
And I'm wondering if any of the work that's going on right now, you, you're a mother and you're working very hard on her behalf, but does Reality Winner feel like she has enough support?
She knows that there are people who are out there who are really, really supporting her, but she just doesn't feel like it's making a difference or that there's enough. You know, during one of my visits with her, I told her, you know, basically all that I'm doing, my Facebook is not my Facebook anymore. It's my site for Reality Facebook. And, you know, and I tell her, you know, I've got 400 Facebook friends. And she's like, that's great. That's 400. You know, that's not going to do me a lot of good in here. And then, you know, and then she says, regardless of what the support is out there, unless we're loud enough to make a difference, you know, and to really put some pressure on the Department of Justice and the court system, it's really not going to do her any good. And so she just feels like there needs to be more. There needs to be a lot more focus on what's going on. And, you know, we're all kind of like, at first when she was first arrested, there was so much media attention to her case. But now there's very little. And I understand, I know that there's a lot of other news out there. But the American people are kind of forgetting that she's in there day in and day out. And, you know, and it's not fair. This is not justice.
When did you last visit with your daughter, Reality Winner?
I visited with her last Sunday. She's being held at a very small facility outside of Augusta. It's not even in Augusta, but it's outside of Augusta. It's a very small facility. She doesn't have her own cell. She basically shares a common cell room with anywhere from 7 to 12 other females. This is a county facility, so they're not equipped for long-term incarceration. And all of our visits, all of our phone conversations are recorded, and all of our visits are between glass and over a phone that's recorded.
And you said it's not equipped for long-term, for holding prisoners. How does that manifest itself? What kind of conditions is Reality Winner living in this facility?
Well, I think you might be aware she's vegan, and she also follows a kosher diet. And so, of course, a facility like this is not equipped to meet her nutrition needs. They don't have the resources available to have special diet needs for any of the inmates. County facilities usually are not set up that way. And so her nutrition needs are definitely not being met. A good day for her, and I think that this was part of the transcript for the court, a good day for her was she told her sister that she had peas and corn, and it was dope.
Yeah.
Peas and corn are dope. Well, what she was meaning was is that that's all that she had that day, is she had some peas and she had some corn. And she feels like she's really, really lucky if she can convince the other inmates to give her all their vegetables so that she at least is not starving. Because she's not going to break her diet, because that's something that she strongly believes in, but the facility is not equipped to meet her nutrition needs.
So you're saying she's not getting big enough portions of vegetables?
It's not just that. Being vegan does not mean that you eat all vegetables. She needs a protein source as well. And although this facility has, they've tried to work with her. She's met with the captain of the jail. She's met with the actual kitchen staff to try to educate them on basically what's a good protein source for her. And they have tried. I want to say that the jail staff there, they are good. They are good people, and they are trying to do whatever they can to meet her needs. And so what they do now is they will make sure that she gets like a tablespoon of peanut butter to give her a protein source.
Okay.
Okay. But when you think about it, think about your meal tonight with your family being maybe 2 helpings of corn and a tablespoon of peanut butter. You know, how is that going to work for you?
So Reality has been living with these conditions for close to 5 months at the time we're recording this conversation. How's her health?
Well, several times she has to be put on medications to help her digestive system. And then, she's also having to be put on antibiotics, periodically for infections. And so we know that, you know, something's off balance in her system. So what's happening is she's developing cysts. And so there's some infections going on, and so she's had to be treated periodically, like on a routine basis, with antibiotics and medications.
Yeah, and better food might help that a lot.
Yes, absolutely. Better food would help that a lot. The day of the hearing, the hearing was like a 5-hour hearing, and of course she had to been transported maybe 3 hours before, and then her transport back to the jail. So basically she was looking at a 12 to 15 hour day, and we were very worried about what she was, maybe, you know, if she had eaten that day, because we had not, you know, we couldn't leave the courthouse, and so we were hungry. Well, so that night when we asked her, did they feed you? She said, well, yeah. She said, they packed me a sack lunch. Her sack lunch contained 3 tablespoons of peanut butter and a package of Lay's potato chips. That was all that she ate during that entire 15-hour trip.
Yeah, and are there any fresh vegetables at all available, or is it all canned food?
It's all canned, yeah, and she rarely gets fruit. So, and that's it, and she misses the fresh. You know, her life before this, if you look at her Instagram, her life was all about fresh, was all about meal preps and using fresh vegetables, fresh fruit. That's something that she loves. And so, yeah, there's been people who have asked, can we send her fruit?
And what's the answer?
The answer is no. I've reached out to the captain of the jail. I've told him that, you know, there's a lot of concern about her diet and her needs. And I've let him know that there are people out there, and there's organizations and people who are willing to send food, not only for her, but for all of the inmates, you know, not to have any preferential treatment, you know, such as protein bars and fruit and fresh vegetables. And his answer has been, no, we can't do that. So, but we try. We do try.
Well, what else should people know? Because we have, now we're here, we're in a moment where there's not a whole lot that's going to change, and as far as the next hearing, right, is in March.
Right. Well, her defense team has filed an appeal of the bail decision. And so at this point, then it'll go up to the next judge, which is, I guess, the district judge there in southern Georgia. I believe his name is Judge Hall. He has the option of just basically ruling based on all of the information that's presented to the court, or he could set it for another bail hearing. And so we won't know for a little bit about what he's going to be doing. The defense team does plan to take this all the way. They're not going to stop fighting for her to be let out on bail pending her hearing in March. There's just, like, you know, like I'm saying, they agree. There's no reason why she should be denied bail. She is absolutely, she's not a flight risk, and she's not a danger to her community. And so they're not going to stop fighting that. And then, of course, they've got a lot of motions and petitions and things like that out there to the court. I don't know a lot about that. I'm not involved in the legal process because I'm not their client, but they do contact me periodically just to let me know, you know, what they're working on in general, and to just kind of, I guess, give me, you know, a peace of mind that they're actively working every single day on this case for her.
You can't bring her food. What can you bring her?
I cannot bring her anything. I can send her stamps and money orders for her account there at the jail, and I can send her pictures and letters. I can't take anything to the jail. I was able to actually mail the captain of the jail items for her, like her shoes. They were concerned about her feet, since any chance that she gets to go outside, she runs. And so at first she did not have any tennis shoes, so she was either running in the barefoot or she was running in her stocking feet and her socks. And so I was able to send her a pair of running shoes, and then I was also able to recently send her retainers for her teeth to the captain. But that's only after I, you know, have a conversation with him and we work out the details of that. So, but the general public can only send her letters, stamps, photographs, and then, of course, put money in her account so that she can purchase things that she needs, such as soap and shampoo, towels, things like that.
Billy Winner Davis, you were telling me about how your daughter, Reality Winner, she goes for runs whenever she's allowed outside there in the jail. How often is she getting out into the fresh air?
Oh, well, prior to being incarcerated, she would have been outside running every day. But unfortunately, her outside time, the yard time there for the females, is really inconsistent. It depends on which staff is there. It depends on whether they have enough staff. It depends on how the staff feel. It depends on the weather. The staff don't want to get their hair wet if it's drizzling. That's one of her, probably, you know, the status things for her is if she could just depend on having outside time every day, life would be a lot easier for her, but she doesn't have that. She says that the males at that facility, they go outside every single day without fail, but when it comes to the females, the staff don't seem to, I guess, honor their rights as much as the men's. And so it all, you know, depends on how they feel that day or how many staff they have on that day or whether they want to do it. And so she doesn't get to go outside every day. So she's basically confined to one room 24/7. And her outside time is the only time that she gets any kind of an escape to that. And that's in, of course, a fenced yard. And it's very small. But when she does get to go outside, she runs the entire time. She'll run around the yard the entire time.
That's really jaw-dropping that if she was a man, she would have outdoor activity every day in that facility.
Yes. And the reason being, well, what she, you know, guesses the reason is because if the men didn't get to go outside, they would riot. But the women will not. And so the staff don't feel like it's something that they have to put any importance on, you know. And I did make, you know, an inquiry with the ACLU on some of the issues, you know, that Reality has shared with me. But unfortunately, they declined to investigate any of it, you know, so far. So,
well, Billy Winter Davis, I know you've been active on Facebook recently. Should people follow you on Facebook?
I welcome as many friends on Facebook that are in support of Reality. I welcome my, you know, Twitter. I'm on Twitter as well at Billy J. Davis. And, you know, we have the standwithreality.org. Please just go sign up for the newsletter. I think we need people to continue to keep Reality story out there and to be aware of it and to keep it out there in the focus, because really what's happening to her is absolutely not right. This is so unjust. I know I keep saying that, but I just, to this day, I sit here and think that my daughter, you know, a veteran of the United States Air Force, is in jail, denied bail. And to me, I can't even imagine it, because to me, it's so unreal. She doesn't deserve this. She definitely deserves to be out preparing for her defense with her attorneys. So it's heartbreaking for a parent, but then it's also, I'm so outraged by the injustice that's being done in this case.
So that was Billy Winter Davis, mother of Reality Winner. Reality Winner is a whistleblower being held without bail by the Donald Trump administration for helping expose Russian hacking efforts leading up to the 2016 U.S. election. My thanks today to Matthew Boyle and Brittany Winner, who you heard earlier in this episode. The website of the campaign to free Reality Winner is standwithreality.org. That's all one word, standwithreality.org. This is the Courage to Resist podcast. My name is Eric Klein. Thank you for listening.